Man, what a joy, what an honor to be here. Like Peter said, my father-in-law, I'm Josh Fanning. My wife, Crystal, is right there in the second row. She was actually just singing, and she is carrying our first son. Yeah, look at that. Ah, came out a little blurry. Yeah, I am so pumped because I get to be a dad. What? Like Peter was talking about, one day some girl is going to come up to my house and be like, can I marry your son? Right? Isn't that how it happens? No? But yeah, I like Peter said, he's my father-in-law along with Elvira, and then my parents are also here, Mike and Tammy, they're also a part of the elder team, and then I got my brother Graydon on the cameras, represent. I have another brother, he's not here today, but yeah, just such a joy to be not only a part of that family, but a part of this family. And I've grown up in this church, and my wife and I now, we're deacons, and we lead probably the best community group to ever exist. If you've seen me do the announcements or like the finance teaching, you know that I say that every single time. Shout out if you're in my group. What up? Yep. It's like half the church. But yeah, just so stoked to be here. And, you know, I've been thinking, after you give your life to Jesus, what becomes the most important part of the Christian walk? It's a good question. I think there's a few things that you can answer that. You know, what's the secret sauce? You know, I like food. I love to eat. I don't look like I love to eat, but I do love to eat. You gotta ask my wife. I got some stuff I'm working through. But secret sauce, what's the secret sauce, you know, of the Christian walk? What is it? You know, Chick-fil-A sauce, In-N-Out, Borden Brew. You know, if you're Nick, you like hot sauce, you know, habanero salsa. What is it? I think there's a lot of things that we could say, but for me, there's one thing that I've learned in my life to apply to my life that is the secret sauce, and that's abiding in Jesus. So what does it mean? What does it mean to abide? You know, some other versions like NIV or the NLT call it remaining. That's maybe could give you a little bit better understanding, but I personally like abiding. What does it mean to abide? You know, and this has become increasingly real and personal to me. Ever since about a year and a half ago, Crystal and I were doing this trip around the world, and it was really beautiful. We were visiting all the 412 churches around the world, and we were in South Africa, and we got this opportunity. Someone gifted us with a hotel to stay at that was on a vineyard, and it was this really beautiful place. We're actually with Clinton Lawrence. It was really fun, and one morning, I'm having my quiet time in our hotel room. I'm already established. I'm in the chair, you know, assume the position, ready for the glory of the Lord, drinking my coffee, which, you know, is like the lighter fluid for the glory of the Lord. And I'm having my quiet time, and then I hear the Lord say, go out to the deck by the pool overlooking the vineyard. And I'm like, oh, God, seriously? I'm already here. You know how this works? I don't want to do that, but, you know, he won because he's God. And that is where I was sitting. And, you know, it just was, all of a sudden it hit me as I opened my Bible to John 15, which is all about abiding. It's where Jesus tells us how he's the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. And it was in that moment that this story became really very real and personal to me, because the Lord was unfolding it before my eyes. And then just this last weekend, it became even more real as I was at a wedding at a vineyard. And I was walking around, and, you know, we were going around the property, and you could see the whole vineyard, and then you could see where they made the wine, and there's a lot of time and effort that goes into a vineyard and producing fruit and producing good wine. And it takes a lot of intentionality and cultivation and people actually putting in effort to produce this good fruit. You got to pay attention. You got to do the work. But then just next to it was this land that was open and kind of desolate, not much going on. And, you know, it was a beautiful picture of how we can live our lives for Jesus. We can be like that vineyard, or we can be like that land, barren, empty, no fruit. And that's what I want to ask us today. Are we like that land, or are we like that vineyard? Do we take the time and put in the effort to cultivate and to be cultivated to bear fruit for Jesus? So this has been life-changing for me. I was like that wasteland. And then I encountered the love of the Father, and everything changed. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll read John 15, verses 1 through 10. So Lord, God, would you use this time today? Lord, would you speak? Lord, I pray that it wouldn't even be my words, Lord, but it'd be your words, cutting straight to the heart. Lord, would you show us what it means to abide today? In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Stay tuned for more on pruning. That he may bear more fruit. And verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in my works, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And then in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Beautiful passage. It says abide like 100 times. And I love it because to me there's three parts to this section of scripture. And Jesus gives us a great picture of how this really works for us and a practical example for our lives. And he shows us there's the vine dresser, the Father. You know, he's the one who prunes and cultivates the vines. Then there's the vine, Jesus, the life source of the branches. And then there's us, the church, the branches. We're the branches. And we, dependent on Jesus, dependent on our connection to the vine, bear fruit for Jesus' glory and ultimately for the Father's glory. And so if you look at that, just, you know, simple math equation, vine dresser, vine, branches, it's two parts God, one part us. And I think that's actually how it works. It's mostly God. But there is a part that we have to play, and it's our response to what he does. You know, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. It's the love of the Father through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is how we abide. It's nearly all through his love. And, you know, he also says, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now, I think it seems obvious that a branch can't bear fruit by itself, right? You know, but how many times in our lives have we tried to bear fruit on our own, right? I think oftentimes we look at ourselves, we get up, we look in the mirror, we're like, this is great, I'm going to go bear some fruit, watch me, God. And we don't let God do the work in us. We don't actually abide in him. It would be so cool to see, you know, someone who has a vineyard, they go out to the plant, they see the vine, they see the branch on the vine, it's got like 1,000 grapes, they're like, look at that branch, I'm so proud of that branch. You know what, let me cut you off so that you can go bear more fruit somewhere else on your own. That would be crazy, right? That'd be foolish. No vine dresser is going to do that. But all the time, I think we go about our life and we think we can be that branch that bears fruit on their own. It's simply not true. And then, you know, Jesus takes it one step further and he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That hit me the other day when I was reading this. Nothing. Not only can I not bear fruit, I can do nothing. But the counterpart is, when we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. See the difference? So we can't bear fruit on our own. couple years ago, right as we were like joining 412, and you know, we were probably about, I don't know, 40% the size that we are right now, and like five young people. And I'm like, okay, it's time. We got to start a young adults group. So me and Crystal and Steve and Bella, we started a young adults group, and we're doing it. And you know, there was some good intention, and there was some, probably some pretty good fruit. But at the same time, I think it was really more so about building my own status, my own ministry, and making a name for myself. And the Lord revealed that to me, and I realized, I gotta lay this thing down. This isn't actually bearing fruit like it's supposed to. And so that's what we did. We stopped doing the young adults group. It's not the one that we got going on right now. That one's great. If you're a young adult, you should go to it. But I think that's kind of hard for us, isn't it? That's kind of what the world is about. You know, we think it's about our accolades and our achievement and our own self-establishment, but it's really about abiding in Him. And then when we abide in Him and we actually submit ourselves to His love and to one another and to our leaders, then He will raise us up in His timing. The kingdom of God is different than the world. And when we abide in Him, His life, Jesus' life flows through us. And when we stop abiding, we begin to wither and eventually die. So how do we abide and bear lasting fruit? So I think there's four keys, four parts to abiding. First is time with the Father, experiencing His love. If you were going to write something down, now's your chance. Second is obedience to Jesus' commandments and to the vine dresser. Third is fellowship in community and loving one another. And then fourth is asking prayer in alignment with His will. So let's look at time with the Father, experiencing His love. Number one, He says, abide in my love. Jesus modeled this for us very well. He was the perfect example of what it meant to be spending time with the Father. Regularly, Jesus would go away on His own to seek the Father. Luke 6:12 says, in these days He went out to the mountain to pray, and all night He continued in prayer to God. If Jesus needed to spend time with the Father, how much more do we need to spend time with the Father? Jesus, the Son of God, fully God and yet fully man, needed time with the Father. It's like, imagine you got a V8 engine. I like cars. Peter's analogy was spot on. I like cars. You got a V8 engine. To me, that's kind of like the king of engines. If you don't know what that is, maybe someone can show you later. But you got a V8 engine. You got all this power, but you got no gas. No oil. What's it going to do? It's going to sit there like the heaviest paperweight ever made and do nothing, go nowhere. And I think that's for us, the time with the Father. It's like our fuel. It fuels us. If Jesus needed it, certainly we need it. This is the heartbeat of abiding. It's to rest in the Father's love. We don't produce fruit by our own effort, but we produce fruit by abiding in the vine, Jesus, our life source. We cannot bear fruit on our own apart from Him. And I think if we can just get this part right, if we can follow Jesus' example, everything else falls into place. Everything else actually becomes easy because then it's not on our own. It's in His strength, His power. It's not Josh's strength, it's not Aaron's strength, it's not Luke's strength, it's His strength. And I think it's actually the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God, right? That's what Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment. It really is abiding, loving Him, knowing Him. We are completely dependent on our connection to Jesus. Just like that vine, that branch, you know, no one's going to cut that off and say go bear fruit on our own. We're completely dependent on him. Are we there yet? I think that was one of Jesus' main missions here on the earth, was to show us the love of the Father. Are we there yet? Are you there yet? Have you had a perfect revelation of the Father's love? I think we all have room to grow in this area, in knowing him. Man, knowing him, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the love of the Father. Just think about that for a second. Just close your eyes. Think of the time that you've encountered the Father's love. It's special. There's never been and never will be anything else like the Father's love. You know, when Crystal and I got married, we went on our honeymoon, and we were having dinner one night, and it was this really special time, and all of a sudden, just as we're in the dining area having dinner, the presence of God just hits me. There's like 40 other tables around, people also on their honeymoon probably having dinner, and I'm weeping because of the presence of God. I stand up, I'm raising my hands, praising the Lord. Every person that comes up to our table, I'm like, do you know Jesus? Have you encountered the love of the Father? And I just was surprised by God. I will never forget that. You could ask Crystal. I was like a blubbering idiot. I was just like undone by the presence of God randomly at dinner on our honeymoon. It was wild. And then this other time, we were on our trip that I mentioned, and if you want to know about it, you can ask me more about it later. And we're visiting at someone's house, and I go to the restroom, you know, because I'm human. And I'm sorry, I know you didn't know this is where the story was going to go, but it is. I'm in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, I'm hit with the presence of God. I start crying in the bathroom at someone's house. And they're probably wondering, they're like all sitting down about to eat dinner. And I'm like, they're like, where's Josh? I'm just like getting wrecked in the bathroom. And then I come out and I'm like, you know, composing myself the best I can. I got tears in my eyes. I sit down at the table and we just have this sweet moment in the presence of God. The love of the Father. He surprises us sometimes, and we are all in need of this love. We can't do this on our own. We can't be that branch that thinks it can go bear fruit on its own. We're needy people, and it's okay. It's okay to be needy. Jesus picked us because we're needy, because we need him. We need the love, the grace, the mercy of Jesus. It's by this love, the inescapable love of the Father, that we abide and we bear fruit. Everything else follows after that. This is number one. If you're going to get anything right, if you forget every other word I say after this, this is the key, the love of the Father. For me, practically, it looks like every day waking up, prioritizing this time, oftentimes waking up when it's still dark before the sun, again, you know, coffee, lighter fluid, spending time with the Lord in my chair, in our office, and seeking him, finding him. I guarantee you I wouldn't have had either of those two times that I talked about had I not made this a regular practice in my life. It makes us sensitive to him, to his spirit, to his will, his plans. And it's in these times for me that everything changes. All of a sudden, I'm abiding and I start to bear fruit when I spend this time with him. Now, when I miss these times, good luck. Sorry, everybody. You'll probably know the day that I miss my time with the Lord. I'm a little bit irritable. I'm a little bit edgy. I'm a little bit fragile. You could say one thing, and I might be, you know, crying in the room a little bit later or angry. My dad knows. My brothers and I, we definitely had our moments. And, you know, it's just when I get it right, though, I abide and I bear fruit, and I'm close to him. Abide in me, and I in you. We cannot bear fruit by ourselves. We can't manufacture fruit. Real fruit only comes through remaining connected to him, the vine. And we need to follow Jesus' example. You know, it's in this that we actually have the opportunity to obey and so abide in his love. Which brings me to obedience. Obedience to Jesus, his commandments, and obedience to the vine dresser. Jesus says, if you what? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Actually, as he kept the Father's commandments. It's firstly, simple obedience. If we obey, we'll abide. And if we abide, we'll obey. They fuel each other like an eternal power source. Abiding and obedience. Abiding and obedience. They lead to each other. You know, a few weeks ago, about a month or so ago, I don't know, I don't think he's here. I invited him, but I met this guy playing basketball, and I won't say his name. We'll call him Jimmy. How about that? We'll call him Jimmy. And I met him playing basketball, and we both missed our free throws, so we weren't in the game. If you don't play pickleball, you probably don't know what that means. And yeah, pick up basketball. And I'm sitting there next to him, and he's complaining about his Achilles. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that he heals. Can I pray for your Achilles? And I pray for him. I don't think he got healed. I don't know. Maybe he did. I'll check in with him. But he looks up to me with just like the softest eyes, and I can see the Lord has just touched his heart. And he's like, man, you have no idea how much I needed that. The Lord's been reaching for me. God's been reaching for me. Just the other day, someone came up and told me about Jesus. I know God's been reaching for me. And it was in that moment we got to share our stories. We got to talk about the love of Jesus. And he's like, yeah, I need that. I need this. And then we've actually met up a couple times since then. And we're still getting there. But had I not been obedient and just prayed for the Achilles, which honestly, I don't think it was about the Achilles, then I wouldn't have had this opportunity to meet Jimmy. And it was so special. And, you know, obedience might not look like this every time, right? It's not always going to be that. But maybe it's just loving your husband or your wife and modeling Jesus to them or your kids. Or if you're younger, being obedient to your parents. Or loving someone in the church when they are in need. It's really simple, actually. And, you know, this is, to me, is where pruning comes in. So brace yourself with the vine dresser. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. In verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And so we have this vine dresser, the Father, the person who prunes, trains, and cultivates vines. That's actually what a vine dresser is. And I think training a vine is this process of guiding its growth onto a support system like a trellis or a stake. I think I actually have a picture of this. And pruning it to direct its energy for optimal fruit production and plant health. So if you go to a vineyard, you'll see something like this, a vine. You can see the post, and you can see the wire going across, and then also the watering line. And this is what they do. They train up these vines so that they can grow the way they want them to grow. And that's what the Lord does with us. And then they prune them once they bear fruit so that they bear more fruit. You can see that one's been pruned. You see the little nubby little green that's growing up, that's probably because it was just pruned and now it's growing new fruit and new branches for the fruit. And so why do we need to be pruned? For optimal fruit production and plant health, just to stick with the analogy. So we can produce much fruit and be healthy. That's why we need to be pruned. And I think pruning and discipline, although on the surface probably seem different, I think they're actually very similar. So who wants to get pruned? Yeah? Look at that. I couldn't resist. Everyone's giving me a half-hearted laugh. I had to put up a picture of prunes. I'm about to be a dad, so, you know, dad jokes. I've been telling dad jokes since I was like 30, you know, not actually, but longer than that. And, you know, I think pruning and discipline, although on the surface seem different, I think they're actually closely related. I think the discipline of the Father proves our legitimacy as sons. Hebrews 12, 6 to 7 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. For what son is there going on whom his father does not discipline?" And the Greek word for he disciplines, and I'm sorry, I had to do one Greek word. I try not to be that guy because personally, I don't think I am that skilled to do Greek words, but this one's good. So the Greek word for he disciplines is pai duo, to train children to chasten or correct. Just as a vine dresser trains a vine through pruning, the father trains his children through loving discipline. And so we are like that vine, and our father is like, our heavenly father is like the vine dresser. He trains and disciplines us through pruning so that we will bear much fruit, so that we will be healthy plants. And our response to pruning will always come down to, do we trust the vine dresser? Do we trust our heavenly father? I think you can abide, bear fruit, and then stop abiding, which is scary. But if we trust the vine dresser, if we trust our father, then when the pruning comes, we'll lean into it. If you were here for Andrew and Liz's class, you heard them say, lean into the pain. Sometimes pruning, usually actually, is painful because it's cutting away something. You're like, ah, ooh, are you sure, God? You're going to cut that? I kind of like that thing. That sin or that bad habit or that character flaw. I kind of like that thing. Maybe it's even potentially a good thing. I think the Lord can prune good things because they can get in the way of him. And it can be painful, and it usually is, but it's always in love. Pruning is always done in love. That's why he says, abide in my love. It's always in his love. But if we stop abiding, if we don't trust the vine dresser, then we risk being cut off. And that's scary. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then again in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, he said, I said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. It's actually the Lord's heart that we wouldn't fall away. That's why he prunes us. It's to keep us from falling away so that we can continue to be healthy, so that we can continue to bear fruit and so glorify the Father. It's his mercy that he prunes us. It's to keep us from falling away, that we would make it to the end. There's an eternal reward for abiding. We abide in him forever, and an eternal consequence for not. We're cut off, we wither, and we're thrown into the fire and burned. The eternal risk and consequence if we do not abide. And so, quickly, I think there's two ways we can get pruned. One, through pressure, and two, through people. There's probably other ways, but these are the ones that I think of. So pressure, external circumstances, tests. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith will produce steadfastness. The Lord uses external things to test us. It's like gold when it goes into the fire so that it can be strengthened and purified. It's the same thing for us. We have these external stuff that comes into our lives so that we can be more fruitful. You know, it might look like losing your job or financial pressure. I don't think the Lord causes these things, but he certainly will use them. You know, maybe you have an opportunity or a temptation to sin, to compromise your integrity in secret. The Lord's going to use that stuff to prune us. A couple years ago, or longer than that now, I'm getting old. It's hard. I think I was 25, so like 6 years ago, I was engaged to this girl. It was not working. The engagement broke up. We broke up. And it's not Crystal, by the way. We're doing great. Love you, babe. If you didn't notice, we're about to have a baby. I don't know if I told you guys. But I'm engaged. We're engaged. We break up. And I am just wrecked. I am hopeless. My life is falling apart. I'm struggling with sin. I'm doing horribly, just all around in bad shape. So much so to the point I can't even get out of bed to go to work. I basically get myself fired from the good job that I had, and I'm lost. I'm broken. And it was in this time that the Lord began to work in my heart and to prune me. And he pruned me. I don't think all of them are this way, but this one was gnarly. It was like, you know, when you got this big plant, and then all of a sudden you got like a stump. I was the stump afterwards. I think he took me back to the beginning, and it was like, whew, okay, thank you, Lord, that I got through this. But it was a good thing. And it allowed me to actually come to the end of myself and to realize I actually kind of had like a faulty foundation. There was a crack. I wasn't established in him. I was on my own. I was that branch thinking I can do it on my own, that I can bear fruit on my own. And the Lord, it was actually his mercy that didn't work out. It was his mercy that saved me and pulled me up out of that and to bring me into what he actually had for me. Now, I think that was extreme. Not all of them are that way. But if you lean into the little prunings, I don't think you get the big prunings. Just helpful tip, lean into the little prunings. Learn from my mistakes. And then people, friction. You know, some people, you might have heard it said, Holy Spirit sandpaper, right? There's a couple chuckles. Everyone's like, yeah, amen. Yeah, because you're thinking of somebody that's the Holy Spirit sandpaper. And you know when other people come into your life, sometimes the Lord uses it to prune you. Their thing that drives you nuts. Or their character flaw that pokes your character flaw. And the Lord uses people to prune us. Just like James and John and the disciples, they're walking and they're asking Jesus in Mark 10, 35, says, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Which is interesting if you think about it, because Jesus just said, you can ask whatever you want, and I will do it. So they must have already known that. And then Mark 10, 37, they said, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. That is a bold ask. And then in verse 41, it says, when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but to me, this is probably why they're called the Sons of Thunder, you know, the other disciples are probably like, there they go again. Maybe they were innocent in asking this question, or maybe it was truly self-seeking, but they actually didn't even know what they were asking. What Jesus ends up saying, yes, you will be able to drink the cup that I have, you will be with me in my glory, but they didn't realize that's actually about how they're going to die. James was the first apostle to be martyred. And I think oftentimes, you know, the disciples, we respond like them, angry and jealous. But I think oftentimes, and I found it to be true in my life, that just like those disciples, God will often use someone else's apparent promotion to prune us. For me, it happened a year and a half or so ago. Nick, one of my best buds, became an elder, and I was celebrating him on the outside, but on the inside, I was jealous. And I was like, what the heck? When's it gonna be my time? And you know what? It may never happen, and I know that now, and I'm okay with it. But the Lord used that. It had nothing to do with Nick and everything to do with me and the brokenness in my heart, my desire for self-achievement and self-promotion and pride. And the Lord used that by his mercy to prune me. And so maybe you can relate to that, the comparison, the selfish ambition. Maybe you feel overlooked out here today. Maybe you feel like there's an opportunity that you deserve. Why hasn't one of the leaders, or why hasn't Andrew noticed me? Why am I not preaching? Huh? Obvious one. But I would submit to you, I know I'm hitting it on the nose, maybe the Lord is using that to prune you. Lean into it. We can't have one without the other. We can't abide without being pruned. We abide to be pruned, and we're pruned to abide. They're two sides of the same coin. And I think the question is, do we trust the vine dresser? Will we be obedient to his pruning? Then we have fellowship and community, loving one another. It's not just vertical, it's horizontal. We abide in Christ, and we walk in love with one another. You know, I think the Father uses community as a trellis, like that picture of that vine with those posts and the wire running across. The Lord uses community, other believers, the Word, his Spirit, all these things to support us so that we can grow appropriately. When we're connected, it cultivates us so that we bear lasting fruit. And that's not just connected to him, it's connected to each other. Jesus said, Lord, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. That's a massive statement, that we would be one like Jesus and the Father. And then in verse 12 through 13, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Which Jesus is actually speaking of what he's about to do for them. That love, expressed through obedience and community, is a part of his training and care for us. You know, I think Jesus modeled true fellowship and community for us. We ought to love one another as he loved us. This is how we abide. Love one another, lay our lives down for each other like Jesus, consider others' needs above each other's, having all things in common, sharing as anyone has need. Those are things that you can actually find in the New Testament that are examples of how we are supposed to love one another and abide together in community and fellowship. And then we have asking, praying in alignment with his will. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Whatever. As we abide, our desires align with his. Our prayers reflect his purposes. not selfish wants, but fruitful works that glorify the Father. And, you know, I think as a kid, I thought I could just, this meant I could ask for like a Ferrari and be like, Lord, thank you. You said whatever I ask. Thank you for this Ferrari that you're going to give me. You are so good, God. Now, he is a good God, and he does give good gifts to his children, but that is not what he meant. It's not about ambition or alignment. It's actually about alignment with him. When we abide, divine power flows through our prayers. And I've come to see that asking, it's actually about the fruit that he wants to bear through us and the good works that he's prepared for us in advance. So in 14:12, John 14:12, it says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Jesus is saying we're going to do even more than him. This is before the whole abiding thing. And it's actually in abiding in him that we're aligned with the will of God. And then we ask. We're not asking for our own benefit. We're asking already knowing the heart of the Father. That's how Jesus operated, right? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And so if we abide like Jesus, we will see what the Father is doing and ask with his will in mind. And then we bear fruit for his glory. You know, I think there is fruit all over the place in these four keys. But an example, I think, for this from my life and Crystal and I's life is when we were leading the youth together. It was mostly Crystal. She was actually full-time leading the youth, but I helped her. And she planned this amazing youth camp. And we went up the mountain for winter camp, and the Lord just met us there. It was a beautiful time. The Lord moved. And there was one evening where Caitlin, who was Stanfield, now Waylon, married to Nick, shout out, Zoe, what up? She had written down a bunch of words, just single words, that she felt were words from the Lord for individual people, and put them in a basket. And we all went around, and it was like this prophetic practice of picking up words for each person. And there was this one guy there, a young guy coming from a broken family. You know, he had had a pretty hard life. And he picked up the word, belong. And we all knew, okay, that is the Lord. You put 30 pieces of paper in a basket and he picks up belong? That's the Lord. And it wrecked him. He's like, I've never felt this before. I feel like I belong. And that might have seemed like a simple practice, but it was through obedience and in community that Caitlin did that, and then the rest of us got to actually bear that fruit. He was a part of that fruit. That's what fruit looks like. There's many other examples, but that is what fruit looks like. And this is all for the glory of the Father, that we would bear much fruit. So in closing, we have time with the Father, experiencing his love, obedience to Jesus' commandments in the vine dresser, fellowship, loving one another, and then asking, prayer in alignment with his will. We, following the model of Jesus in John 15, it isn't about striving harder or selfish ambition, but it's about staying connected to the vine, abiding in his love. When we spend time with the Father, we trust his pruning. We receive his love, we obey his word, and walk with his people. The life of Jesus flows through us, and we can ask anything in his name. His joy becomes our joy. His power becomes our power. His love becomes the love that reaches others through us. And the world doesn't need more impressive branches. It needs connected ones. So let's abide. Let's love deeply and endure pruning faithfully, and trust the hands of the Father that we would bear much fruit. And so, it's all for his glory, and my challenge today to each of us, ready? you got some homework, is practice this. Spend time with the Father. Some of you, I'm sure, already do this, but if you don't, here's your chance. Do it in the morning. Spend time with the Father. Seek his face. Be like Jesus. Follow his example. And if you haven't been other part, if you haven't been allowing the Lord to prune you, maybe you've been resisting him, yield today. Let him prune you. You can trust his hand. I know it seems scary, but you can trust him.